Oh, church, we better praise him for that. Guess what? That's where it starts. That's where it stays. And that's where it finishes. All the blood of Jesus. The precious atoning blood of who? Jesus. Pray with me and let's give thanks, because you know what? Many of us in this room have received Christ. And sometimes I think we come to church, we come for many reasons. Some of us come because we're obligated to a societal moment of giving God some honor during the week. Others of us come because we understand without the blood of Jesus, there's no hope. There's no hope. I happen to fit in category B. Your pastor is a sinner saved by the grace of God. Without Jesus being nailed to a cross, I cannot preach. Without Jesus being raised by the almighty hand of God from death into life, I have nothing to say. If not for Jesus, we have a theory of good works and some rules of nice conduct. And it stops there. But in the blood of Jesus, when all sin is taken away, all possibility is recreated. And so I want to start there. In prayer, that today, you know what I'm staring at? All kinds of God's possibilities. And I don't know about you, but I think it's time that this world have a release of God's possibilities. Now, listen, nothing is impossible. And the world has some rough moments in it. How many of y'all have ever had a few rough moments in the world? It does. And any preacher that stands up with pretty white teeth and tells you if you follow Jesus, you're going to have no problem is just flat out lying to you. They've never read the Bible. What they've done is read the chosen verses where God says, rejoice in the Lord always. We forget the part where he says, and suffer with me gladly. We forget the part that most of the Bible, and I know this is really going to bother some of you really nice people, was written in prison. It wasn't written in a seminary. It wasn't written from preachers who set themselves away from the world. It was written by a missionary who injected himself into the world. I want you to know that we do not have a Jesus that ran, but we have a Jesus that came. And you know what he's waiting for? His people to do the same. To go into the world with this great message. It's not enough to sing about it. It's not enough to clap for it. It's not enough to read about it. It's not enough to just study about it. It's not enough to just put it in a workbook. Church. We're going to talk for just a moment today. Where do we go from here? What has God really called his church to be? What does he want released in here? You know what? He doesn't want us to keep just doing the same things over and over again. How many of y'all know he didn't die for us to continue to do the same thing? But he died so that I might be able to live differently. Isn't that the truth? So let's pray and ask God to really touch each and every one of our hearts, okay? If you don't mind, before I even pray, if you just look at your neighbor and say, you need to get this. Go ahead. Just so, come on, talk to me. You need to get this. You need to get this. Somebody, Dan, tell me.
You need to get this.
Thank you. I do. I need to get this. You need to get this. So that puts us in this context, Freddie. We need to get this today, okay? Not just you, but we. How many of y'all have ever been in a sermon and you think to yourself, man, I hope so-and-so's listening. How many of y'all elbow your husband and your wife? Most of them, he's talking to you. You know, we like to preach to everybody else, but rarely do we receive what God has in store for us. I got this concept that if we would just listen to God and do what we're supposed to do, we would encourage one another. Amen. But we got a lot of nosy people. They want to speak for God and they want to tell God how to correct each other. And maybe that's why we don't see people healing today. Maybe that's why we don't see people getting better today. Because we'd rather tell each other what to do instead of introduce each other to a God that can change their lives. Hold that thought as we pray. Lord, open our ears, but not just the ones that are attached to our head, but open the ears of our heart and the eyes of our heart that we might see the mercy of God and the call of God in our lives. Lord, I just pray for anybody right now that just feels like they're not a part, that they can't get it. Lord, if they are redeemed and have received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, today I pray that you would energize us, release us, and encourage us to be a part of the church that you have established. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 I got to confess to you, for a long time, I didn't think the church was important. How many of y'all have ever thought the church just really wasn't that important? Any of y'all had that, or am I the only just bad thinker in the room? In fact, when I was called to preach, some of you heard this, I had a real dilemma. Jesus I loved, and the church I could do without. I said, Jesus, I'd be glad to tell the world how great you are and how wonderful you are, but please just do not put me with your people. In fact, I have a bumper sticker in my office that says, Jesus, please save me from your followers. They're scary people. And the reason I had that, and please don't be offended, we all have moments in our journey with life, is sometimes the followers forget to follow. How many of you all as followers forget to follow? And preachers are the worst about this, so I'll start with us. All we can do is pronounce what God is doing. If you're under a preacher that's trying to tell you what to do, you're in trouble. Because if they're telling you, that's limited. If God's telling you, it's unlimited. You see the difference? And so that's why there is an importance that we really understand the Word of God. Okay, so I'm going to preach at you for just a minute. This I can tell you because it's of God. I want you in this, as we finish up this year, can you all believe we're about to hit October here before too long? And so we're kind of after God's stock, and you say, preacher, what are we going to do from here? Okay, three things. We're going to love like we've never loved. We're going to encourage like we've never encouraged. And then, JD, we're going to stand back, and instead of tell the church what to do, we're going to watch God unfold it. So I want you to see three things there. Love like who? Jesus. Good. That's all right. Love like Jesus. Encourage each other like who? And then watch Jesus release the church. Yes. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you have a long-range plan in your church? Do you all do long-range planning? I said, no, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But in a way, we do long-range planning in this. We know as long as we stay anchored to Jesus, we're okay in the end. How many of y'all got that kind of security? As long as I stay in Christ, I'm going to make it no matter what goes on. And you need to hear that message today, because guess what? There is more chicken littles at this moment that I've experienced in life. How many of y'all get tired of hearing all the chicken littles? Everything's a crisis. Everything's a crisis. Everything's a crisis. My marriage is a crisis. My children are a crisis. My house is a crisis. Everybody's having a crisis. Well, let me tell you the greatest crisis. The greatest crisis is that you and I have sinned against God, and we need the blood of Jesus in our lives. Now, there's a big crisis. Now, we don't want to talk about that crisis. You know why? You can't solve it. How many realize no human can solve the divine crisis? It takes Jesus to solve it, and Jesus has. Anybody glad about that? Jesus has solved the ultimate crisis, our separation between Him. But now, how many of you all tend to major on minor crises and forget major healings? And that's why the Bible instructs us to do something, especially over in Philippians, but we're not going there today, but it does something I want to start there with. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. You've been to Sunday school. You've been to Bible study. I remember when I was 4 years old, my mother taught still teaches four-year-old Sunday school. And she takes it serious, man. She teaches four-year-old Sunday school like it's a graduate class. But she used to cut out these construction paper verses. You'd have your construction paper verses. And I remember drawing the one day, and it said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice in the... You know, I used to think that just meant be happy. And then I got to read a little deeper, and I grew up and I matured and looked a little deeper. That doesn't mean just be happy, Keith. It means understand that God's in charge, God's in control, even when it doesn't appear that way to you. Realize that God will be God. Let me break it down to where we can understand it in American culture. God is God even when we don't feel good. Amen. How many of y'all celebrate that? Let me show you the power of God. God has not left, even if you declare it. Have people come, well, Pastor, God's left me. Oh, really? Are you special? I mean, are you just so ugly and vile and that the grace of God doesn't apply to you? You are so unique that God won't save you? I said, really, I think what you need to deal with is the sin of arrogance. To think you're that special. Your mom and dad have lied to you. You're not as special as they've said you are. You're like the rest of us. Now watch this. How many of y'all like to be like the rest of them? I see some of you right now getting a little just scratchy. You know, well, Pastor Steve, I'm different. Some of y'all think you're holier than others. I hate to break your bubble. You're not. One sin against God is many sins against God. We all have our preference of nasty, don't we? And all of it sickens God's heart. And so he stretched his son out on a cross so that all of us might be what? Not some of us, but what? God's desire is that we would be with him. Anybody excited about that? Well, go with me to Ephesians. Where do we go from here? We continue to move with Jesus. Move with who? Jesus. I want to start here. Pastor Jeff, it is very extremely important, and you're doing a great job, and God does fabulous things through your ministry. But we need everybody that will be in Bible study. We need everybody that will be in Bible study. And I want to tell you, and the reason for that is you need to be aware of what the Word of God says. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, Pastor Steve, I read my Bible every day by myself. I know I work out by myself, too. Now, here's what I know. If I'm by myself, I never push myself harder than I want to go. Come on. Anybody like that? If I'm jogging, right there's a mile. And I'm going to go to the bar over there and eat me a donut, maybe two. Because, Chuck, I'm helping the children of Costa Rica.
Amen.
I'm not overeating. I'm ministering.
Amen.
How many of y'all, when you read the Bible by yourself, you skip a lot of verses that apply directly to your situation? Here's the way I found most people like to read the Bible. They like to read the parts that apply to everybody else, and they love to skip the parts that apply to them. A lot of people like to get that Bible where it says, do not be drunk with wine. And they bear down on that verse and say, amen. But they read real quick when gossiping's in the same list. And they skip over it real quick when a judgmental attitude has been listed right there with the big ones. In fact, growing up, when I listened to evangelists, I thought there was only three sins. Drinking, smoking, chewing, and doing. That's four, isn't it? As long as you stayed out of that, you was all right. But then I realized, wait a minute, that's cheapening the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus said, we're all have fallen short of what God designed us to be. We've all sinned and we need to be saved. Paul had come to this conclusion. So go with me in Ephesians. We want to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, as we look at God releasing his church. Bible study is one of those avenues that helps us release the church. It's not just for your benefit. It is for the body of Christ to be released, okay? Jesus has instructed us to have an answer for people, okay? You and I are very blessed in our moment of time. We have so much technology. We have so much knowledge. But it's not just knowledge. Knowing the Word of God is not about knowing the Bible that God has written, but it's knowing the author that wrote it. Now, I have a lot of people that can quote Bible verses in there. And listen, I'm so glad that you can, but I just want you to know, so can the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I had a few friends, and they would always quote Bible verses. You know, they'd get in this spiritual warfare. They'd kung fu fight in spiritual warfare, and they'd quote Bible verses at demons. And I'd start smiling. I said, what are you smiling stuff? I said, they know them. What language would you like for them to speak them to in? They know more information than you do. Information does not save you. God tried that on the first round. He sent 10 bits of information on stone tablets and nobody could keep them. So then he sent the one who could keep them, the fulfillment of the law. He sent his son. And in that act, we receive grace that can change things. So here's what I want you to know today, right off the bat. Everybody in Jesus has an opportunity to be a part of the church. The church is a group of people that have been graced by the blood of Jesus, brought together to release God's power in the world. Can you get that definition? Now, who brought us together? Come on, talk to me. Who brought us together? This is kind of a teach, preach today. Jesus brought us together. So Paul writes into the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then. First of all, he gives his title. I'm a prisoner for the Lord. You know why he's a prisoner for the Lord? He's been thrown in jail several times for preaching the gospel. Now, how many of you all would have just automatically had written Paul off because he went to jail? Maybe not here at Hillview, because we're familiar with the jail. We minister in the jail. And I want you to know, Freddie, that's very godly. Jesus said, when I was in prison, you came in. How many of y'all glad to know that God is not scared of the jail? If I had to kind of illustrate what God's doing, we tend to put people, we tend to lock them up, and God doesn't get them out. He releases them away from. Now, see, you got to be careful with grace. Grace is not a way out. It's a way in. See, a lot of people think, man, this is great stuff. I can do what I want to and follow Jesus. Well, you can't follow Jesus and do what you want to. Now, check this out. Here's why, Nick. If you're following Jesus, then you're going to do what he wants you to do. If you're doing what you want to do, then the truth is you're not following who? Jesus. How many of y'all usually get off track when you're doing what you want to do? Yeah. Come on, just be honest. Yep. Let's break it down. In your marriage relationship, a lot of y'all married in here, a lot of y'all been married a long time. How many of you all find it gets a little friction, gets tension in your marriage when, you know, if you decide to do what you want to do without regard for like your wife? I found that Elizabeth is not real pleased when I just do what I want to do with no regard to her. I found that's not a good plan. Now I find if I include her and I show her and I explain to her, and if she feels a part of it, even if you don't like it, you still, it's better, isn't it? Even if you don't like it. But God brings us together to get something done. Here's the bottom line of the church. We are to expose the world to the blood of Jesus. It's the bottom line. We're not in the publishing business. We're not in the gymnasium business. We're not in the restaurant business. We're not in the recreation business. We're not in the tabloid business. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to expose people to the reality of the cross and the resurrection, that it's for real. Now, it's so for real in Paul's life. Look what he tells them. He says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I've been jailed for this. Then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. A life worthy of the what? How many of y'all realize you've received the calling? If you don't mind, tell you, Emily, you have been called. Sarge, you've been called. So has your lovely wife. Keith, you have been called, and so have your sons and your wife. Dr. Blevins, you've been what? You've been called. Joe, Lily, good to see y'all from Arizona. Bless y'all's hearts. Y'all have had, we don't have dust storms in Kentucky. But y'all did in Arizona. And there, you're there. You know why? You've been called. Jack, you've been? And Sue? Yeah. And the rest of your tribe, the Fulgham tribe? Called in the grace of God. Randall? Called. Now, are any of these people alike? No. But they're all alike in the blood of who? Jesus. If you don't mind, if you just look at your neighbor and go, you've been called. Tell them.
You go, wait a minute, Pastor. Theologically, how do I know if they're saved or not?
You don't. Amen. What's this? I don't know if any of y'all are saved or not. You know if you're saved or not. I know if I'm saved or not. You didn't get saved by human recognition. You got saved by heavenly recognition. Does everybody understand that? Be careful when somebody looks at you and say, you're not saved because you have long hair. Why do you listen to boneheads? You ought to just look back at him and go, or her and go, will you grow up in Jesus and live a life worthy of your calling? called out what Jesus called out. You know what Jesus called out? Sin. You know what Jesus called sin to? Redemption. Shouldn't that be our same rhythm? Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Let's talk about what you've received. All of your sin is forgiven. Is that correct? There soon to be Reverend Dr. Jeff Reynolds. Is that correct? I mean, even when you get into the depths of Scripture in Allen, we go deep, 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 deep in the Word of God. What does the Word of God scream to us? Jesus is Lord. That's a big confession. Jesus isn't Lord. I'm not the Lord. You're not the Lord. Even though your granny's sweet and makes wonderful pies, she's not the Lord. The government's not the Lord. Money's not the Lord. Things aren't the Lord. Even Corvettes can't be the Lord. They can be fast, but not the Lord. Harley Davidsons can't be the Lord, and Hondas don't even have a chance at being. But we make a lot of other things Lord, don't we? Because Lord is that drives my life. Lord over my life. Jesus is Lord in my life. Paul says, church, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now let's look at what's important to God as we live out this life. Three concepts come here. Verse 2, be completely humble. How many of y'all are humble? Let me tell you some things, church, as we go along together mid-season here that we need to focus on. Humility means this. Do you know God's done a great thing in you? Tim Early, I love you deeply. You know why you're a superintendent of Warren County Schools? God put you there. Be what? Humble. Nick, you know why your life's totally changed? Because of Jesus. That's it. Nobody would have wrote your story like it's been written. I mean, think about that for a minute. Nick and Sandy, who would have wrote your all story? 20 years ago, nobody would have wrote this moment, would they? Oh, now you're dealing with the power of God. God will write what nobody else can write. Why? He is the author. Anybody know the rest of that scripture? And what? Perfecter of our what? Faith. How many of y'all want somebody else to perfect your faith? They won't do it as good as Jesus. To be surrendered. First thing, church, listen, and I commend you in this Hillview. We're learning how to be humble. God has done great things. I want to thank you that so many people were baptized. I can look back at this year and I can see God-sized release moments all over this church. But you know what? We're going to be humble. God did that. And this is what humility is. Guess what humility is? Just do it. You know what humble people do? They do it. They don't announce what they're doing. How many of y'all have ever been in one of these situations? Pastor Mark and I have. We were at this event, and he and I were sitting in the back, and we had to keep a straight face because we were keeping, sometimes I just get tickled about life. But anyway, there was a guy up there, and he spent 20 minutes introducing a dude, telling him how humble he was. And I looked at Mark, and I said, if he is humble, he'd have introduced the dude in 30 seconds and sat down. But when you got to tell people how humble you are, there's a reason for that. You're not. When you got to tell people how holy you are, there's a reason for that. You're not. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus walk up to people and just start quoting scripture at them?
No.
Mm-mm. And he wrote it. I mean, did Jesus just start, I mean, really look at the Bible. Jesus looks nothing like church people. Jesus never pointed his finger. He never put petitions in the paper. He never argued with the government. And his ministry is being talked about today, and ours fades pretty rapidly. So I want to encourage you. Let's do it like God designed it. He's just humble. I just want to know. I just got to tell you. You know, I like to tell people stuff while they're here. Does that make sense? I never thought it was really cool to talk about how good somebody was after they were gone. Why not tell them while they're up and they can hear you? I'm just very excited about many in this room have done some pretty successful things And you know what I love most of all about you, and keep it up. And sure as I say it, the devil's going to hear it. Continue to be humble in what you do. People ask me all the time, yeah, are you excited about how big Hillview is? I said, no. The bigger the church, the more problems have entered in. It's not about being big. It's about being faithful. It's not about being loud. It's about being what? Faithful. We've learned that, haven't we? I loved Godstock last week. We've grown up at Godstock. I remember when Godstock, if you drove to the campground, your life could be taken. I remember that era of time. I mean, there's bicycles going every which way, four-wheelers in the middle of it. Everybody loud. Everybody just running around like their heads caught off. You know what's happened to us in 18 years? We grew up, thank God. How many of you, as you grow up, you don't have to demand your own way as much? Huh? When you're two, you're supposed to demand your own way. Because you're what? When you're 42, you ought to be able to listen to somebody else. And if you can't, guess what you haven't done? That may be why you've been married eight times. After a while, you get a clue. You're either a bad selector or you can't hold what you select. But evaluate it. Say, wait a minute. Am I humble? Knowing God's doing the great work. Be gentle. Don't scream and yell.
Mark, I know.
I'm preaching. This has been a struggle in my life. Any of y'all have that struggle? My volume sometimes doesn't illustrate my Savior. Any of y'all have that problem other than Jack and me? Huh? Come on, anybody else have that problem? Man, I had a temper. And why do I have a temper? Why do people have a temper? I want my way. You pull out in front of me, you haven't pulled out in front of a public road. You've pulled out in front of my road. And I get what? Now, I don't do that anymore as much at all. I've started, in fact, Blake told me, he said, Dad, you're finally mellowing out. I said, hon, I said, my head hurts when I yell. And I said, I'm scared now if I have one of them hissy fits, I'm going to die of a heart attack right there on the floor. What happens? How many of you all fuss less as you age? Come on, how many of y'all do that? You need to be doing that. Right? You fuss less. How many of y'all fuss less? Elizabeth, we can say this with integrity. Absolutely with integrity. We fuss less now than we did 27 years ago. I ain't saying it's all over, but it's less. Elizabeth told me one day, she said, you used to get real mad about that. I said, it hurts to get mad now. See, that's the beauty of age. It hurts to get mad. To even put the energy for that. You know what happens? I think as you age, eventually you realize what's important. Not everything's worth fighting over. And very few things are worth fighting for. In fact, God doesn't tell us to fight. He tells us to receive. Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble. Remember, God's doing the work. Be gentle. The louder it is doesn't mean the better it is. Just state the truth. Just state the truth. The devil is not scared of our volume.
Not at all.
He is terrified of our Lord. Jesus. You know how Jesus never got really upset, except that one time he did get upset at the temple. And I know some of you all got Jesus turning Rambo up there, but that's, he just very, with a lot of authority, overturned the tables and said, this is not the way the house has been designed. I don't want Jesus to do that to our house. May we design the house. Be gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another. In love. Now, guys, this is where the church comes together. Be patient. Bearing with what? One another. In what? Listen, I'm going to show you how powerful this verse is. You do that in all your relationships and you will experience powerful relationships. Bear with each other. I said, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I got a wayward son. Bear with him. Pastor Steve, I got a daughter that's gone off the rails. Bear with her. How many of you all have had somebody bear with you? I have. He sits back here. He's my father. My father bore with me. When I read this scripture, I think of my dad and I think of my college experience. I was quitting college every semester. Every semester I was done, I'd come in and I had my, "Dad, I'm done with this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And he'd go, "I tell you what, my dad's always calm. That's one thing about it. I mean, at the end of time, I mean, bombs will be blowing up, earthquakes will be going on, meteors may be falling from the sky, you know, chunks of hell the size of houses falling." And my dad would walk out in the front yard with his arms folded and go, "Well, the Bible said there'd be a day like this, and it has arrived." I asked him the other day, I said, "Dad, if the whole financial situation collapsed, what happens?" I'm waiting for some profound answer. You know what he tells me? "Well, you eat taters." Can you not give it a little more passion than that? He laughed at me. He said, "Son, I started out eating taters and I might go out eating taters." But you know what he was telling me? Trust the tater maker. Trust the God. For you from up north, that's potatoes. Down south are taters.
Spuds.
Or spuds. No, spuds up north. That sounds like an up north term. Spuds. Who wants to eat mashed spuds? Mashed taters. It's all one word. What do y'all got to potluck? Mashed taters. Cheese in them. But watch. Who really secures us? Christ Jesus. In church, we need to tell the world, wait a minute, we got a God that's in charge. And even when things look wayward, God's still in what? Charge. That's the history of the whole Bible. Be patient, bearing with each other in what?
Love.
You know what? I found this. It's easier to love the hell out of each other than it is to fuss the hell out of each other.
Yeah, that's true.
And even redeemed, we all still have some residuals of hell left in our fleshly nature, don't we? Not in our spirit nature. That's been taken care of absolutely 100% by God. But in our soulish nature, we still have old habits, old patterns that we'll come back to. And you know what? The reason we come together in the church is not to beat each other up, but to bear with each other so that together we get better. Amen? So Hillview, I want to thank you for some things today. I want to thank you for welcoming people into this church that have been beat up by life's reality. There's one thing you can say about Hillview. We do have Jesus' arms open here. And you know what? Jesus spent more time like this than he did like this, didn't he? How many of y'all got a God like this? "Gonna get you, Alan. You said a naughty word on Tuesday morning at 7:30 on I-65. Sinner! Gee, I want a God like that. But this is a God that a lot of the world sees. It's an unbiblical God. It's a God made from lies and deceptions and not a God of the New Testament, where Jesus says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, every effort to keep the unity of Spirit. Now, watch this. This is prayerful. Watch. How do you keep that bond? It goes to the first part of the scripture. Well, guess what? Humility, gentleness, and patience. Note a word that is not in there. Tolerance. See, we think if we just tolerate everybody that we're gonna have peace. Well, we're trying that plan right now. We've injected that into our world and really made tolerance the Lord for about the last 10 years. We got less peace. Have you noticed? Peace is decreasing because tolerance won't provide peace. Grace does. Understand that I've messed up, but I understand that Jesus forgave me. Now we're going to be on the redemptive side, okay? Once again, grace does not allow you to do what you want to do, but it does give you the ability to do what God has created in you to do. That's grace, to move forward. Paul said, but remember, everybody is important. There is one body. Just want to go over some things before we close up today. Just reminders as we continue in fall church. There's one body. That's the church. That's who Jesus is coming to get. Okay? Mm-hmm. One body has many parts. Just as you were called to one hope. What's our hope?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Now, hold on. These things sound simple, but they're very complicated. If our hope is Jesus, then we need to realize everything else is not the hope.
That's right.
Remember that the next time stock market dips down real low. What is the stock market?
It's the stock market. It's not the hope. What's your annuity? Mine right now is a hopeful wish. But it's not the what? Hope. There's one hope. It's not what we created. It's what God's given. The hope doesn't come from us. It comes from God. It has a name. His name is Jesus. One Lord, Jesus, one faith, those who follow him, one baptism, those who have been baptized into Jesus. Jesus. They've repented of their sins and they follow who?
Jesus.
Baptized into Jesus. Those are beautiful baptisms at God's stock, weren't they? I've never seen an ugly baptism. Y'all ever seen an ugly baptism? I've never seen an ugly baptism. When one confesses that their life of sin is buried and their hope is in Christ. There is one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in what? All. So here's what I wanted to leave you with. What's the game plan till we finish out this year? Through all. That means in everything you do, there's an opportunity to express Jesus. Everything. Even when you mess up, it's an opportunity to confess grace. You know what the greatest thing church people can do? Not church people, but followers of Jesus. I'm sorry I did not do what I should have done there. I apologize to you. And now I'm going to do what Jesus has called me to do. You know what that becomes an illustration of? Grace. Biggest difference I see, I don't know what you all see, but the biggest difference I see between religious people and followers of Jesus, religious people can never say they're sorry. You notice that they're never wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. Somebody else has always done it to them. They've never committed any sin. Everybody else has done wrong. The world's done wrong. And they never get along with anybody. But wherever they go, it's always everybody's fault for their disconnected relational ability. You know why? They're not making ever effort to keep the bond of what?
Peace.
They're looking at what man's done instead of what God can do. So I'm asking Jesus to focus our eyes on what he can do. He can do it forever, but I'm talking for us since we need to start, is that we would be focused for the next 3 months on what God can do. Changes the way you look at people. You know, y'all out there working, y'all ever get any honorary customers, you and Timmy, Brad, y'all ever get any honorary ones? If you work in the public, how many of y'all work in the public? Marla, that'd be you. That's a public school. That means the public comes. If you work at the mall, you work in retail, you work in manufacturing, got some public there. Who do you hire, brother?
Public.
And guess what they come in with? How many of y'all realize every person you see is a walking problem? Well, that's one way to look at it. Or every person you see in me is a potential person to be filled with the hope of God, the peace of God, the power of God, and the potential of God's release. Now, if God is all and in all and through all, then we ought to be everywhere with him. That make sense? In all that we do, showing the world that Jesus Christ is truly the Lord. Does that make sense? Well, how do we do that? First of all, you got to tell people about Jesus. Number two, you got to learn about him so you know how to live like him. And number three, that you would see the potential in God and it's always greater than you see. Does that make sense? So I'm going to ask you to do something. Don't look at what is lost. We have a tendency to always look at what's lost. How many of y'all find we look at losses quicker than we do wins? Huh? Come on. I didn't hear any of y'all talking about the economy when it was good. I heard very little praise. Well, thank Jesus, I got a raise. Thank Jesus, things are going good. Thank Jesus, I've never lived like this. I didn't hear any chatter about the economy when it was well. I didn't hear any praise. I didn't hear any glory to God. I didn't hear any, that's amazing.
I mean, we were selling cracked up situations all over the place, people making money hand over foot, and I didn't hear a word of praise in this world. I didn't see the newspaper article that said, Shazam! Stock market out of this world. But as soon as it starts losing, what do we hear? So is that right? Here's what I'm going to ask y'all to be. Y'all remember the children's story, Chicken Little? Y'all remember Chicken Little? What was the matter with Chicken Little? Sky's falling. Is that right, Nathan? You read that one? Do you like it?
It's been a while, but yeah.
I didn't like it. I think they should have killed the chicken at the end and fried it. Now, that'd been a cool story. It'd been like a parable. And that's the way we got Kentucky Fried Chicken. But remember, Chicken Little, she's always the sky's what? Now, listen, that's not our voice. That's not our voice. I mean, check me on this. I want you to check me on everything I say. Jesus never called us to be sin spotters. That's what Chris Allen gets you to do when tornadoes come. Spot tornadoes. We are grace declarers. Because he's in all, through all, and is all. He's Lord. And so guess what? I'm going to ask you, I'm going to remind you of something. Remember? Y'all think I forgot about this. I have not forgot about this. How many of y'all got one of these cards? You got somebody's name on it. If it's your name, that's cool. Some of y'all have turned your name on. And say, watch, I watch some of you go, I got my name for the year. We have other cards. But see, that's just like, I got my one. Really? Well, if God gave you one, guess what he might give you? You know what he says? I'm just going to tell you what he says. You can decide what you want to do with it. He says, those who are faithful with little can be given more. Now you know why some of us don't have any more? We don't take care of the little. And until we take care of the little, he can't take us to the what?
More.
To the more. Now, I know, if I wrote a book like that, one of them would say, Elizabeth, buy it. Nobody would want to be, nobody wants to hear this truth. Be faithful with the little you've been given. I mean, that don't sell. I mean, how do I do a be faithful with the little conference? Nobody will come. But now if I did a conference, God's got more. It's abundant. It's beyond your imagination. Reach for the dream. Swing on the stars and work out on the moon. I mean, it's a packed house. Because we all want to be where only God could take us. But very few of us want to take the first steps to get there. Go ye therefore and tell them what I've showed you. Tell them what you know. Tell them who you know. And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Making disciples of all of them, all nations, all languages, and all people. And by the way, I'll be with you till it's all over. Jesus said that. That's what we're about, Hillview Heights Church. Unapologetically, we believe there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church that is in all, through all, and is all. Amen. I praise God that we get to hear music that is off the hook. But if we don't share it with other people, we are absolutely unfaithful. I am amazed at the Bible study teachers we have in this church. I'm blown away on Wednesday nights and Sundays in the afternoon when I get to sit in on classes. And guess what? But if all we do is hear the word and never step out and give the word to somebody else, guess what? It's absolutely limited. But if we take care of what God has given us and all of us do it together at one time, we will experience the wind of the church that we're yet to experience. I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to step into that wind. What do you think? Now, come on, sister, it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary. Wind is scary. Right on, isn't wind scary?
Yes,
and this wind right here is uncontrollable. But dream with me. I'm going to ask you, dream with me. Can you imagine an 8 o'clock service filled to the gills?
Your pastor, people don't want to get up at 8 o'clock.
They do. They do it every day. I've gotten up at 4 o'clock to go shoot something furry that has horns. I've gotten up early to go drive to play golf, and I don't even play well. I mean, for me to get up early to go play golf, that's absolutely a waste of time because it didn't improve my game. And after the game was over, guess what? I spent money. There wasn't anybody at the end of the 18 holes saying, have you ever considered going on tour? I've had some people say, why do you play golf? It's a good question. What about the most precious message of all, Jesus Christ? Well, let me give you an opportunity today. There's some people here that God brought today because he wants you to be saved. You cool with that? Think about this. God loved you so much that he said, you know what? I want to send my son Jesus into your life because I know you've sinned. And today, you know, you've sinned. You've broken God's rules, regulations, God's process. But guess what God said? I've come that you might be forgiven. Jesus died on a cross. He's risen from the grave. And he said, well, what does he want me to do? He wants you to do this. Repent. This is what repent sounds like. Dear God, I'm sorry. I've lived my life ignoring you. Today, I would like to live a life worthy, so I understand the first step is I must what? Receive you. And after you receive him, you know what I do? I confess him in baptism. And after I confess him in baptism, I'd do five things. I'd get in here and worship like I've never worshiped. I'd get me a Bible study with some other people that are learning what it's like to follow Jesus. And I'd listen to that. I'd find me about four or five friends that want to run with me and honor Jesus with me. And I'd hang out with those friends. And guess what? I'd pray every day. I'd pray honestly before God. God, I don't know what to do, so show me today. I guarantee you, he'll show you something. I'd pray asking him in all kinds of ways. I'd praise him. How many of y'all ever thank God? I'm thankful for every one of you all. I'm thankful that I've been here all these years.
I am too.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that you're here. You know how cool that is? Some of y'all think, well, isn't this normal? I love the people I pastor.
Well, aren't you supposed to? You're a pastor. I remember I was in a, I won't mention the name of the church, but I remember I was pastor, was on staff of a church, and I was supposed to be there at 9:30 to teach them Bible study, and Elizabeth was kicking me out of the bed at 15 after 9. Why? I didn't want to hear them again. I'm telling you the truth, Ann.
It's bad. You know the church is in a bad situation when the pastor wants to skip. Things are bad, Don. Jesus didn't even want to come. I'm telling you. He's tired of hearing it. Because we're never thankful for what he has done. Let's be thankful. Amen. Well, I'm thankful today some people are going to get saved. I'm thankful today, Jamie, that some people are going to get baptized. I'm thankful that that's the will of God. And we've learned some of it. Amen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord of us all. Let's stand together because he'd like to do in you a work in your life right now. Let him have your life right now. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, some need to be baptized today. And some need to be saved for the first time. If you've never asked Jesus in your life, come on right now. You know, you feel it. You feel it. You know deep down inside your heart's pounding. Your spirit's being talked to by the Holy Spirit. Well, why don't you ask him, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I've lived against you. And Jesus, now I'd like to live with you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. Lord, I receive you into my life. See what happens to your life. It can't be that simple. It wasn't. He had to die and be risen from the grave for me to say that. It's not simple. It's true. It's not a myth. It's a fact. You say, well, prove it, preacher. All right. You come receive him and see if you can give it back. Faith. What might Jesus do in my life? Now, for you believers, man, think about that card. Come pray for that person. Think about the last time you invited somebody to church. Think about the last time you brought them to a Wednesday night service. Think about the last time you actually said, you know what, I want somebody else to have Jesus in their life too. Think about that. Think about your marriage, your children, all the great things God has given you, and let's come give him thanks today. Amen. It's a big world we live in, and God's in all of it. So let him love you. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Those who need to be saved, may the Lord draw them. Those who need to be baptized, may the Lord draw them. And may we all come and pray and give thanks for the world that God has created, saved, redeemed, and is in. And as you come to the altar, may a blessing just fall on you today. As you come to the altar, may you just seek the Spirit of God. May a blessing fall on you today in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for coming to the altar. Thank you for being a part of God's kingdom. Thank you. Thank you.